Well, now is the time to worship, right? I think any time is a good time to worship. I was just driving in the car. I don't think this would go with it, but I was just singing to the Lord, just saying, I turn my heart towards you, Lord. I turn my heart towards you, and just setting my affections, my thoughts in the busy week that I had, and believe me, it was very busy. I just said, I'm turning my heart towards you. I'm turning my eyes towards you. I'm not letting all the circumstances of life and all of the pressures and all the to-dos keep me from keeping myself in you, Lord. Keeping myself in what's really important. That's our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just pray for Roger Rowe right now, Lord, who's suffering from a cold. Father, we ask that you would just touch him right now where he is. Bring healing to his body as he has a project to do this week. Lord, let your health flow through his veins. Lord, for everyone that's traveling, everyone that's having family time together in some camping, some at the beach, Lord, some just going and hitting the road, Lord, we pray that you would just bless them on their travels. Lord, that as they go, Lord, you, Lord, would manifest yourself to them. You're with them, Lord, but let them realize, Lord, how close you are to them, how much you love them, Lord. We just thank you, Jesus, that you are, Lord, the one that has purchased us and paid the price, Lord, for us, and that we're yours, Lord. We are yours, Lord, and you are ours. Thank you, Lord, for that great exchange. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And Lord, we pray for Teresa. Father, we pray that you would continue to be with her as she's at home. Restore her heart. Both her physical, Lord, and emotional heart, Lord. Lord, hold it tightly, Lord, with your comfort and with your love, Lord. And let healing be her bread today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. And I'm no longer a slave. Thank you.
So this song really messed me up during worship, and I had to get off the stage and go to the back. And I'm not going to get into why and all of that, but the one verse where it says, you have chosen me from my mother's womb. Love has called my name. I've been born again into a family. Your blood flows through my veins. I got a picture of Jesus on the cross, and it's always been a little bit of a hard concept for me to grasp about how it says, now his blood flows through my veins. Like, you know, how does that work, you know? But I almost got a picture of a transfusion, like a full blood transfusion. How Jesus is on the cross here, and he's transfusing into me as my blood is leaving me to go out because my blood is tainted. And it put a whole new picture on this song for me. And I got to thinking about it because of a story that I've told before about a little boy that the doctor said to the little boy, will you give your sister your blood? Because she needed a transfusion because her blood was bad. And he took a big gulp and he said that he would. And then he was on one table and the little girl was on the other, and he was only about 7 years old and she was four. And he's laying there and he's watching the blood go up in through the machine and around and go out and down into her. And pretty soon he looked up with tear-filled eyes at the doctor and he said, so when am I going to die? He thought that he had to give his blood, all of it, so his sister could live. But Jesus did give it all. He did give it all. And so now as I look at this song, I'll never see it the same again. From what happened personally with us last night as a family to this song, to what the Lord showed me in the back when I went back there. It's like he's completely transfused me. Like I have new blood because of what he did for me on the cross. Like I don't have to even act the same or be the same. I know that I have royalty flowing through my veins. Yes, I know it.
Yes, yes.
I am a princess. You guys are princes. I mean, you know, just we are royalty, and we don't have to live as slaves any longer. Right. We don't have to be held down to that chained bondage mentality any longer. We are not chained to this world. We've been set free by the blood of Jesus.
I'm not afraid.
You want to come over here? Everybody's kind of right in this area. And you guys can move up front if you want. I mean, you, oh, you guys have to leave 11:45? Yeah. everybody's got places to go and people to see. Staying, huh? You gotta work. What is it with that work stuff? Oh, hey, I need my iPad. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Okay. For those of you that don't know it, our grandkids and, well, I should say our kids and grandkids. Put the grandkids first because they're so fun. But they all moved back to Tri-Cities. They're living in Tri-Cities now. And so Tim has not seen his sister in 2 years. So we went down on Friday night. And they got to see each other. And he hadn't seen the little ones, the littlest ones, in 2 years either.
I mean, they were like big.
And they're like huge compared to what they were then. And it was so cute because when we got ready to leave and then finally left, Alana had gone to everybody. That's the 5-year-old. She'll be 6 in a couple weeks. She had to give everybody multiple hugs. And Tim got in the car and afterwards he's like, Alana hugged me 5 times. Like he was all proud like that, you know? So he's real excited that the nieces and nephews are close too.
Proud and blessed.
Yeah, he's really thankful. And he came home from work yesterday because Lana's birthday is on the 18th and they're doing a pool party. They said, our flying fish is turning 6 and she's doing the splits way up high in the air in the pool. Her daddy threw her up and her legs are out, you know. So Tim went to work yesterday and asked for the day off. And don't you tell him I said this. And I'm pointing at little Zeke because he works with him. But he said he asked his boss for the day off. He's like, you know, everybody's asking for the day off in the summertime. Why do you need it? And he said, well, it's my niece's birthday, and they live in Tri-Cities. And I guess the boss went, oh. And he said, and they've been living in Cleveland for the last 4 years, and I've never got to spend a birthday with her. And he goes, okay, you got the day off. So it's pretty cute. So he gets to go down for the party. So
better than my dog ate the homework, right?
Yeah. Better than my dog ate the homework excuse. I hope so. I hope they do.
Yeah, they're pretty busy.
They're really busy right now trying to get ready for school and get them signed into school. And Daddy's now working in Walla Walla, so that's an hour 10 minutes the other direction. So they're really, really, really busy trying to get... They're still not impacted, but I hope they come soon this direction. That would be great. Huh? I'm not sure where he's at. I'll have to ask him what the name is. It's a trauma hospital that he's working in, and he's the ER trauma doc there. So, I don't know.
I think he said...
Yeah.
Did he say Regions?
I don't know. Oh. I don't know what he said.
I know it was... No, it used to be that.
Anyway.
So. Okay.
We're on a time frame. 20 minutes. Get her done.
Get her done.
Right, Panda? Okay.
Well, I was thinking about that. I don't know if I want to... Do this big message because
okay,
it's
so
good. What do I want to do? What do I want to do?
Well, I have something to read.
She has something to read.
I do.
Let's do that because this would be rushing this.
And then we can get into...
And this is kind of a good one for everybody because I think it'll prompt some good discussion.
Yeah.
So go ahead and lose the in love.
This is something that I found this morning that it just absolutely hit me. This is Oswald Galter, and if I've read this before, just tell me, I don't remember. And Unconditional Love. Oswald Galter was a missionary in North China during the 1940s. After 10 years service, he was returning home. His ship stopped in India, and while waiting for a boat home, he found a group of refugees living in a warehouse on the pier. Does this sound familiar at all to anybody? Okay,
not
good.
To me. If it's unwanted, been used again, it's good.
Unwanted by anyone else, the refugees were stranded there. Galter went to visit them, as it was Christmas time, wished them a Merry Christmas and asked them what they would like for Christmas. "We're not Christians," they said. "We don't believe in Christmas." Or "we're not Christians," they said. "We don't believe in Christmas." "I know," said the missionary, "but what do you want for Christmas?" They described some German pastries they were particularly fond of. So Oswald Galter cashed in his ticket, used the money to buy baskets and baskets of the pastries, and took them to the refugees and wished them a Merry Christmas. When he later repeated the incident to a class, a student said, "But sir, why did you do that for them? They weren't Christians. They don't even believe in Jesus." He said, "I know," he replied, "but I do." Mm-hmm. And it's really funny because I'm going to share a little bit about Teresa. I've been up to see her at the hospital several times, and she's now home, and she's on restriction, and her kids are taking care of her. But one of the last times that I went to see her, her son came in from work. And it's the same son whose little girl was in the hospital that I went to pray for. And they thought she was going to have to stay like for another week. And she got released 4 hours later after I prayed over her. So his name's Colton. Colton was there and he saw me. And he's like, every time he sees me, he gets a little bit warmer and a little bit friendlier because I've been so consistent in my love. And our, you know, whenever we see him, it's like, "Hey, how you doing, guy?" You know, it's like greeting one of you. Like, we do that with him. And I know one of these days, just like these pastries, those prayers that have been said for his little girl and for his mom and for his mom and for his mom and little girl, I know like those pastries, it's going to do something in his heart. And in his wife's heart and the family. I know it. It just reminds me of Lorena and Angel and how the story came about that all of you other guys can't end up coming to church because we went to pray for one small little boy. And that's what Jesus expects of us. He doesn't want us to look at it as this huge, big job that we have to do. We don't have to sign on a dotted line that signs it all away. I was recently offered a job, but I had to agree to long-term tenure there. 10 years of tenure, meaning I had to stay until I was 57 or 67. And I had to stay for 10 years. And I was not willing to sign that line. But Jesus doesn't even ask us to sign a line. He just asks us to say, "Lord, I love you, and yes, I will." Our word is good. Our bond with the Lord is good. And just like these refugees, how far did those pastries go? Like, nobody else wanted them. But this one missionary heading home only had enough money for the ticket on the ship, and he turned it in to give them something for Christmas.
Yeah, I was, while you were talking, put this way so I can read it. I was thinking about unconditional love and how that's sometimes hard to comprehend. It doesn't make sense to our natural mind. I mean, we hear it and we go, "Oh wow, that's amazing!" But then, like the class asked him, "What made you do? Why would you do that?" I mean, they're not Christians. I mean, it didn't make sense because it wasn't like there's going to be something that you get for sure in return. You know, you bless a fellow brother and sister, you know, we're guaranteed a return, you know, bless those, you know, and we're going to return a blessing. But what I'm saying here is that, you know, love is sometimes very difficult to, unconditional love, very difficult to understand. It makes us a lot of times have to lean on our own understanding because we do though, because we try to think of love from the best way that we know love. But I think love is really supernatural. I think even though it's displayed, it's that, like we were talking, those things that are in the unseen, they're clearly seen. Love is one of those things that gets clearly seen, but it's from the unseen. You know,
it's a good point.
It's from his dimension. And even when a mother is loving a baby, that love isn't coming just from the mother. That love is coming from that unseen realm that's coming into her heart and allowing her to receive that unconditional, incomprehensible love that she would lay down her life for her baby.
Well, remember that story that I read, too, about that little girl that wanted to go to Disneyland so bad, and then she started acting up after she found out they were going.
Oh, yeah.
Because she was adopted and the other kids weren't, and she thought, you know, she was going to have to somehow stay home. But that night after Disneyland and, you know, it being the best day of her life, she said to her daddy, "Do you know why I like Disneyland?" And daddy said, "Why?" And she said, "Because I know now I'm really yours." Like, you know, it's... There has to come a point, I believe, in our Christian walk where we have to say and then walk out this what is spoken out of our mouths, "I am yours," like, and believe it, and then start walking it instead of having to remind ourselves, "Oh, wait, I'm the Lord's. Oh, wait, I'm," you know, just walk it out instead of talk it out. And I mean that by, like, you know, speaking life instead of death. I mean, you know, it's harp, 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 here I go again. But it's true. I mean, once it's done, thank the Lord for his unconditional love. Once it's done, thank the Lord for the love of the spouse or love of a child or whatever it is. Thank the Lord, because it's a done deal. I love that.
Amen. Well, Ephesians 3, verse 14 through a few. Jesse's in the middle of something.
No.
Reads, you want to read it?
No, you go ahead.
Okay. "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And Paul has been giving a whole bunch of reasons previous why he does pray for the Ephesian church. But he says, "From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." So the Lord Jesus Christ is named the bride of Christ, both in heaven and on earth. Mm-hmm. Not just here on earth, you know, they're his as well. And when we're there, we'll be his as well. And then he says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. So that our inner man, our inner being would be strengthened to be able to do what this next thing says. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that you being rooted and grounded in love." Now this kind of goes along with the message, but I didn't have this verse. "You being rooted and grounded in love." So if you think about it, being rooted in something is like you're rooted in the earth. Mm-hmm. You know, you're rooted in that. You know, it's going to take a lot to get you out of that place. And grounded. Mm-hmm. When you're grounded, you're cemented in. You're connected. I don't know what all the you know, the other words for that is. I haven't looked them up. And then he says that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. To know experientially, I'm adding that, the love of Christ, which passes or surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So what we have to understand is that there is a comprehending that we need to do, but it's not in our natural mind. If we try to lean on our understanding and understanding the love of God and his love for us, we're going to mess up. We're going to stumble, and we're not going to be able to be in this fullness of God that is awaiting us. And we'll be handicapped, because we'll be operating from our own strength. We'll be operating from our own capacity to love. Just as that missionary, he was in the love of God.
Yeah.
He was, you know, you could say, well, you know, he was just doing that because, you know, it was a good thing to do. And maybe the Lord put it on his heart. You know, putting on your heart is a whole different thing than being obedient to something that's fully sacrificing.
Well, because
all
you
the
can
things.
Tell how sacrificial it was. He had been away from home. It says home, not a house.
Right.
Home, which means there's probably family there for 10 whole years. He had not been home.
So that's sacrifice.
Right.
Because he gave up the money to get him there.
Right. He'd have to work for it and get in it. Obviously, at one point, he did get back.
Exactly.
But my point being is that was the fullness of God working in him.
Right.
And so he must have been able, at least at that time, to comprehend in his spirit, in his being, in his inner man, what is the width and length and depth and height.
Right.
Of the love of God.
Yeah.
To know that love, to experience that love. And, you know, I was talking to Jesse, I said, well, I'm going to be talking on the love of God again. He says, I don't think you can talk about that enough. I think that's one of the things that we miss most as Christians is realizing that we are loved unconditionally. Mm-hmm. Not based on what we do, or not based on what we're able to do for him, or what we've done,
What's been done to us,
or what's been done to us. None of that stops the love of God, and we have to get to the place where it's no longer in the unseen.
Right.
It's no longer something that's just subjective. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Yeah.
That it's not just a verse that we quote, but it's for God so loved Mike.
Right.
Make it personal.
Yeah.
That he gave his only Son. Jesus gave himself for Mike.
Right.
So that Mike could have eternal life and not perish.
Right.
That's what it has to do. And even just doing that isn't enough. I have to get to the place where that reality of God's love is something that becomes real in me. The fullness of it. And I don't believe we're going to walk in the fullness of God until we all know the love of God personally.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we can truly love the way that Jesus loved until we know that we're loved.
Yeah.
Till that we know that we are all good.
Yeah.
Because God has made it all good.
Yeah.
You know, there's a story in the Old Testament where Abraham was developing a relationship, his relationship with, and I'll try to get done before 11:45, because I know stories are really frustrating when they don't finish.
Okay, hurry, because I've got something to say.
Okay. He was establishing his relationship, and Abraham became the father of Isaac, and Isaac was then the father of Jacob. So this is the very beginning of the lineage of Israel. And God said, I want to have relationship with you. I want to do a covenant with you. And so he told Abraham to cut these beasts in half. I think it was like an ox, and it was like a sheep, and I think it was like three or four other things, even a bird, I think. And they were all cut, and they were split down the middle. Now, this was called a covenant ceremony. God was having Abraham do what was known to men as a covenant ceremony. They would do this when one tribe was going to be committed to another tribe. Mm-hmm. They would have this ceremony take place. And so what would end up happening is the two chiefs of these tribes would walk down the blood path. And that would be a blood covenant.
Wow.
And so Abraham, when he's doing this, most likely knows, wow, God's making a covenant with me. And so Abraham was probably getting all psyched, all ready to walk through with God through these animals. But that's not what happened. It said that Abraham fell into a deep sleep. And while he was asleep, he saw a burning furnace walk through the animals by himself. God said, Abraham, the covenant that I'm making with you has nothing to do with you. My covenant with you now is all on me. And it was a type and shadow of the way that God sees us.
Wow.
He sees us as a completed work because it was all on him. So then what was Abraham left to do? Receive by faith.
Belief.
He had to say, you know what? I'm going to walk this relationship out.
Mm-hmm.
He promised a son in his old age, and he kept believing, tried on his own, didn't work. Finally, in his years, when he was probably past childbearing, mm-hmm. and his wife definitely was, she always had a dead womb. Boom. God manifested that covenant in a relationship that was established when Abraham said yes.
Yeah. Well, last week I remember because you said rooted and grounded, and it reminded me. I know we got 4 minutes. Rooted and grounded, and I had in the middle of after worship before we started speaking, I went over to Roger Rowe because Roger works on trees. He knows all about shrubbery. He knows all about trees. He knows all about flowers and bushes and everything. That's his business. He does this business. And I said to him, I said, Roger, when a tree is fully mature and there's a really big storm and that tree bends over and falls into a house and it breaks at the base, can that tree grow again? Because I've always like thought, you know, because it's rooted and it's grounded, obviously, in the ground. Or else it would have pulled up by the roots. But it didn't even do that. It cuts off, you know, it cuts off at the base there somewhat, raggedy. And he says, yes, life can come from that. So if you've been broken and you've been hurt, if life has disillusioned you in some way, some fear has grabbed a hold of you, someone has said something to you that has totally tried you beyond your own belief, you remember, even if you've been broken, new growth will happen in Jesus. In Jesus, new growth will come if you're rooted and grounded in Him. That's where we need to stay.
Amen. Amen. And the only way we can be rooted and grounded in love is to receive His love. And that is a process. Because, you know, we'll fail. We make mistakes. Our thought process gets distracted and we're not thinking of Him. And so after a while, we can kind of be not outside of Him because we're in Him and living and having our being. But we're not setting our mind on things above. We're setting our mind on the earth and all the attention of the earth. And we end up getting to a place where we're not receiving that love in us. We're not letting love be in us, in love. We're not living in love. And that will be the precursor for next week's message, in love. Praise the Lord. Pray. Father, we just thank You, Lord, for this opportunity to get together. And Lord, I pray right now, God, that You would allow Your truth to make us free. Yes. That we are loved unconditionally. You did it on Your side. We receive that finished work into yes. our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
With 1 minute to go, hello. Are you guys going out of town? Oh,
work.
Oh.
Bless you. Love you guys.
Love you guys.
Love you, Zeke.